name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder what people think when they hear the word evangelist. Our presiding bishop talks about evangelism a lot, but it seems to meet resistance from many people. Very few folks raise their hand and say, "Sign me up, I want to be an evangelist." I'm guessing that's because of the images and scenarios the word conjures up for people. Maybe you think of well-known television figures with large audiences who ask for money. Maybe you have nightmares of altar calls. Maybe you have a specific memory of someone standing on a street corner or knocking on your door. I do. When I was in college at the University of Virginia, there was this amphitheater that was part of the original grounds. You had to pass by it to go to almost any class. But it wasn't really used for much beside people sitting there on a sunny day reading outside. But I remember this traveling evangelist who would come every year and just set up shop there for a week and yell all day to anyone passing by. He would tell us to repent or we were going to hell because of the drugs he assumed we used, or the sex he thought we were having, or the music he believed we were listening to. People would try to engage him, atheists arguing with him about the existence of hell, Christians trying to claim another version of the gospel, members of other religions trying to defend the validity of their faith against his onslaught. The entire dynamic was confrontational, and that was on purpose, I think. It fed into his whole show. But I had these friends who lived in this house together, like 8 or 10 of them, all in one house, the way guys do in college. And one year, a couple of the guys from the house asked the man where he was staying. He was pretty noncommittal about it, probably because every interaction he normally had was adversarial. So they just told him he could sleep on the couch in their living room of the house if he wanted to. And he stayed there for 3 nights, used their shower, they gave him food, and then he moved on to whatever campus he went to next on the circuit. And I thought that was not just ill-advised, it was really pretty crazy. And I also thought it was the clearest example of evangelism that went on that week. They broke the cycle of shouting and condemning and fighting and shared some actual good news, which is what evangelism really means, by saying, "You can have a safe place to sleep." I don't know that they convinced this guy of anything or changed anyone's mind in that amphitheater, but they did win me over to a better way of engaging people and made me hopeful that positive interactions could come from even seemingly intractable dynamics. This passage from today's gospel is often thought about as the calling of the first disciples, but it's really about some of the earliest examples of evangelism in the ministry of Jesus. He and John are sharing with people good news, and that's why they follow Jesus. John says, "This is the guy who takes away sin, removes your shame, restores you to wholeness." And people start to follow Jesus. Jesus asks them what they're looking for, and then invites them to come and see if he might have it, and they go along. Andrew says, "We have found the anointed one, the chosen one we've all been waiting for." If you read on in John's gospel, Philip says, "We have found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about." And people go. And the psalmist in the psalm designated for today describes God as the one who has lifted him up from the pit and put a new song in his heart. What if, as these passages suggest, evangelism begins with paying attention to where you experience God's love in your own life and giving voice to that manifestation? Paying attention to the way God shows up in your life and then showing it to others. Expressing the love you have felt to someone else asking what it is someone is hoping for and leading them to a place where they might fulfill that hope. That's evangelism. My guess is that almost everyone here has some story of how they have felt God's presence in their lives, or of what makes them hopeful about their faith, or about how it has changed their lives. In other words, I bet that almost everyone has had their own epiphany, their own manifestation of God's presence, or realization of God's love in their own lives. That's often why people show up at church. And I hear those stories all the time about when a loved one died, and in the mourning process, you realize that you were not alone. Or you were sitting up afraid on a dark night when you didn't know what the next step could possibly be in your life. And then a peace came over you and you had the courage to take the next step. And years later, you're still following that path. Or you had been going down a destructive path of bad decisions and worse interactions until you could only hope and pray that some form of redemption and reconciliation might be real. And now you've just gotten your 10-year sobriety chip. Or you were forced into an ongoing interaction with someone you would have never normally been connected to. Someone unlike you that you judged or didn't actually like. And yet somehow, over time, you made a bond and realized that there was something unspeakably deep that actually connected you. And you recognized in them for the first time the image of God. And it was greater than you initially imagined. Or again, in your crisis of faith, you weren't sure you really believed any of it anymore. And yet you still felt the love of God and decided to hold on until the sun broke and you could see your way to believing in something again. I have heard these stories of so many people's lives, so many people's encounters with the good news of God and Christ. Maybe like John the Baptist in a moment of epiphany, you too have come to know Jesus as the one who takes away guilt or shame or burdens too heavy to carry, too deep to undo, takes away despair and cynicism. Maybe like the Andrew or the Philip, you have come to know Jesus through religious teachings, and to know yourself to be called into the sacred narrative that is in Christ Jesus and continue the love of God that transforms the world. You have a sense, it has to be revealed to you, that your life has a mission and a purpose tied up in the good news. Maybe like the psalmist, you have endured unspeakable grief and times of unbelief and have felt a strength, a power beyond your own, sustain you and lift you up. The truth is, there are infinite versions of epiphanies because God is in genuine relationship with people, so how you experience that is almost necessarily unique to you. And yet, there is something universal about the desire for that connection, the longing for the epiphany, about hoping and wanting someone to make you have faith again, that hope may be not in vain, that there may be something worth following, something worth committing your whole life to. That, I think, is what this passage is about. That's what the Epiphany season is trying to show us. That is the heart of evangelism. Not taking some course in how to share your faith, or memorizing the right Bible verses to convince people, or trying to condense your story down to something that can be told between stops on an elevator. It's about asking people what they are looking for, what would give them hope, and helping them find it, pointing the way if it is a place you have been before. You see, there are two things involved in that interaction. One is pointing them toward a place where they can find God, discover meaning, be embraced, but the other is honestly caring about what they need, being interested in their dreams, listening for their heart's true desire. the most important aspect of evangelism is actually bearing good news, being someone to be with on the journey, a person to listen, one who cares deeply. What are you seeking? Asked Jesus to the brothers. Come and see, he then offered them. That interaction itself would be good news to so many people. And it is the embodiment of Christ in our world. Evangelism is not a condemnation or even really a proclamation, but simply put, it is an invitation to one looking for a place of shelter. That seems like something most people would welcome. That seems like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.